in a series, again, a couple new faces this morning, but in a series calling it Redefining Success. And goodness gracious, you know, you look at our culture, and the culture is a disaster with what they call success. Can I get amen? Right? And unfortunately, it seems like the church has brought a lot of those definitions or concepts into the church, into ministry, into kingdom living, and we are defining success by a lot of very secular, carnal standards. Can I get amen? So we're going to be on a journey. Honestly, the more I'm reading and studying and praying about this, I think we're going to be in this all summer, maybe into the fall. But I want to call this morning, we're going to start like a little sub-series in here this morning called a sermon called Getting the Mind of Christ. Getting the Mind of Christ. So I want to review a little bit. We're going to tie some things together. And I know this is going to be real good. It's going to be real good. So we've been talking for a few weeks now about the difference between psyche life and what's the other one, church? Zoe life, right? Psyche is the soul, right? The soul, inner man. But Jesus is out of your innermost man will flow rivers of living water, right? We talked about two Sundays ago. Pastor Al preached last Sunday, by the way, if you missed it, and a lot of you were traveling in various things, you should definitely grab Pastor Al's sermon from last Sunday. It's on Facebook, on YouTube. Really, really good, solid stuff. He stayed in the same vein. But psyche, we talked about, is the inner man, right? The inner man, in the dictionary, it's defined as like the center of human existence, right? And two Sundays ago, the Spirit of God said to me, yeah, but I belong in the center of the center, right? Your innermost being. And as I watched, as I've been working with Christians for several years now and working with myself for longer than that, praise the Lord, I figured out that, man, it's even as Kathy shared, we've got this house, so okay, yeah, I'm a temple of God, but like the lights aren't on, right? I had a buddy of mine from high school. He bought his first house last year, and he calls me one day, and he's like, hey, man, how do I hook up the internet? How do I get the internet working? He's like, I bought a router, and I bought this stuff. And he says, you know, there was a cable coming out of the wall, and I plugged, you know, I screwed it into the back of the router, and it's not working. Now, my buddy is a PhD in biochemistry, very intelligent. I said, did you call the cable company and have them turn your service on? And he says, yeah, but I can see the cables going out to the road. I said, did you pay for that, though? You know, did they turn it on? Right? I was like, oh, man, come on, bro. Wow. If you need any answers in biochemistry, I'll give you his number, okay, because he knows all that stuff. But can I get amen? Church, you got to understand something. We are hooked up to God because he's in me, right? It's learning to live from this, not from this. We receive not because we ask not, right? So Zoe life is the uncreated eternal life from God, from the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? Right? A couple weeks ago, we looked at 1 Corinthians 2. Paul says the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. It's not possible. Right, natural man was what? Remember, guys, what was the Greek word? Psyche. I was shocked. Not natural like carnal, because there's other words that are translated natural in the New Testament, but the Greek word that Paul used there was psyche, this psyche man, the soulish man, the emotional man, the man that says, oh, I'm just going to figure this out on my own. Paul's like, no, you're not. It's literally impossible. Oh, I don't understand the Bible. Right, because you're trying to understand it from your natural man, your psyche man, right? You're trying to understand it from your human capacity to understand something. You will never understand it. Can I get amen? Right? We've been drinking, my beloved, the waters of religion for far too long, just like the Samaritan woman at the well. Lots of effort, lots of work, lots of toil, strain to get a gallon of water. Think about that. It's two Sundays ago. I spoke to Olga from IHOP a couple days ago. She called me, and she says, you know, how's it going at the church? How's the family, whatever? So I told her what I've been preaching on. She goes, you're kidding me. She says, we have Francis Chan at IHOP right now. We have something Martaxis. I forget this, Ed Martaxis maybe. And then she listed like Martaxis, yeah, that guy. Eric, yes. And then there's like two or three other preachers that I recognize. She goes, they've been here for 2 weeks. And she goes, this is what we're talking about at IHOP. And she says, we had Mike Bickle, who founded IHOP, had one session, had a young lady get up that has been IHOP for 20 years. And she says, just share with us what you know, you've been here for so long. What's the Lord saying to you? And she stands up and she says, the Lord's been talking to me about what does it mean to be a successful Christian. And she says, this is what she says. Success is a tender heart. And I was like, oh, instantly like, oh, yes, that's so good. Success, to be a successful Christian, I have a tender heart to God. Like, okay, what else, Pastor? Just work on that. See you guys next Sunday. I'm just kidding. Isn't that so good, though? What are our hearts do? The world is constantly pulling on our hearts and sin and anger in our past and all this stuff. To what? To harden our heart. Right? That's where it all begins. See, Jesus, my beloved, said, just reviewing here because we're tied this, some stuff together this morning. He says to the woman, I'll give you a drink of water, and that drink will become, everybody say become. Become, denoting a process. Not an event. Everybody say process. The water I give will become in you a spring of living water springing up into eternal life. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Right? A well is dug by man, lots of effort, crank the bucket down, crank the bucket up to get a gallon. Jesus says, kingdom is you got water flowing in you. He who comes to me will never thirst again. Wow. Can I get amen? Look, you can't get this anywhere else. You can't fake it. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't religion your way into it. The water, that water that Jesus gives is a fountain of life overflowing within us, right? Can I get amen, church? We should stop saying, I've said it, we've all said it, oh, I'm just in a dry season. Dude, stop saying that. You know what the Lord is doing? He's sending you into someone else's dry season. He's sending you into a dry environment because he said, I'm going to make rivers in the wilderness and streams of water in dry places. And we're like, okay, Lord, do it. And he's like, I am. That's why I told you to go talk to that person. They're dry. You're the river. Go show them my river. I don't want to do that. But we want kingdom, don't we, church? We want kingdom. And he says, yeah, the kingdom of God is, come on, everybody say it with me, in you. The kingdom of God is in you, Jesus says, in you. Okay, Lord, bring your kingdom. He goes, I did. It's in you. Now let it out of you. Right? Last quick review, then we'll move forward. We covered Paul's statement. This is why this sermon title here. We covered Paul's statement from Corinthians about having the mind of Christ, right, a few weeks back, and discovered that when we put that one in context, we always preach, for years I've listened to preachers, and we'll preach, oh, brother, we have the mind of Christ, and they get all excited about it and everything else, but put it in context, Paul is not making a blanket statement like, we all have the mind of Christ. You read the Corinthian letter, especially the first one, Paul is hammering that church. He's like, you guys are a disaster. I mean, they got some guy that's sleeping with his mother-in-law in the church. Yikes. Paul's like, and then he's talking to the leaders of the church, and he goes, you know this is going on, and you're putting up with it. He's hammering that church. We have the mind of Christ. You back up in that chapter, which is chapter 2, and he talks about them. He says, you know, among you I've preached nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. We get excited about that one. But then read 4 verses down. He says, but when we go other places, we preach great words of wisdom beyond this stuff. But I can't preach that stuff here because you can't get over yourself. All I can preach in this church is y'all need to die with Jesus. If you haven't figured out yet that you've been buried with Christ, you're dead. He says, I can't tell you anything else in the kingdom because you're not going to get it. Because you're what? A natural man. Amen. He goes into chapter 3 of that section and he goes on to talk about it. He says, look, you should be eating meat banana, but I got to keep giving you milk, right? And I got to keep feeding you. You should be eating this kind of food, right? There's another spot where Paul says, some of you should be teachers by now, but I got to keep talking to you about this basic stuff, right? And Paul describes there, he says, here's what a natural man looks like. There's jealousy and strife among you. The two things that Paul says are going on in that church. Well, I don't know how you're walking in the flesh. Jealousy and strife. Can I get amen from anybody that got convicted by that statement? When we have jealousy and strife in our homes, my beloved, it's because we're in our flesh. Jealousy and strife in a marriage is because we're in our flesh. Jealousy and strife with our children is because we're in our flesh. Jealousy and strife at work because we're in our flesh. Jealousy and strife in church because we're in our flesh. We're coming at it from our natural way of thinking. All the natural definitions of success. Amen. See, some of us have probably heard this before, right? But like the most miserable people on the earth are Christians who dig their heels in with God. Anybody ever done that? Because why? Because now you know. Okay, no, I can't go clubbing on Friday night. Right? Can't be all crazy. I know I can't do that, but I don't really want to go to prayer meeting either. Don't really want to read my Bible. Don't really want to, like, I don't want to do anything for God, but now I just, like, can't do all this other stuff that I like to do because I feel bad I'm doing that. But I'm just, like, lukewarm, right? Well, you know, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, and I do this like dance back and forth all day long, right? Miserable. You know how I know? Because I lived there for like 10 years. I knew I was saved, but I wasn't free. I knew I was forgiven, but I was still living in this old man and hated myself. Guilty. Man, terrible. Can I get an amen from anybody? The mind, my beloved. From the dictionary, the mind. The element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, judges, etc. So Paul's talking about, right, the mind of Christ, right? But the mind, just our natural mind, it's the element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, or judges things, or etc. Number 2, the totality of conscious or unconscious mental processes and activities. The mind. Number 3, the mind, intellect or understanding as distinguished from the faculties of feeling and willing or intelligence. So interesting, one definition talks about feelings and will, but this one says that it's the mind is intellect or understanding distinguished or separate from feelings or will. Isn't that interesting? See, our mind, my beloved, is where we process things and we think about things and we that's where stress. Come on, church, can I get amen, right? A thought comes into our mind, and man, we start grinding on it, and it's like it's all over. Because we start imagining all the outcomes, all the bad things that are going to happen, and oh my gosh, now this, and we paint this picture that, you know, we paint this whole picture out, and we're like, oh my, you know, by the time we're all done, we're freaking, oh, what am I going to do? And you're like, nothing's even happened, right? I took the church over, man. I've told this story before, but some new folks, right? I was out for a nice drive one day. It was beautiful out. I went out for a nice, I have a nice car by God's grace. And so we're out for a drive. Missy was with me. We just had 2 kids, not 9. At that point, we just had 2 kids. And they were asleep. They fell asleep in the back seat. Missy fell asleep in this. And so I had the sunroof open. Man, beautiful day, iced coffee. And I'm driving through the woods. And this thought pops into my head. And the thought was this: what are you going to do if the church doesn't make it? And you know what I did? I painted this whole scenario of how disastrous my life was going to be if the church didn't make it. And in about 90 seconds, I was... I wasn't speaking in tongues either. I probably should have done that. I went from having a great day to just, I mean, literally sobbing. I've screwed up. The church is going to close. I'm a failure. I'm not preaching to anybody this morning. And it took me a minute to go, wait a second. If everybody stops coming, we got some money in the bank at least. Like, I could keep the place open for like 6 months, you know. Right? But do you see what I'm saying? I grabbed onto that thought and went, whoa, 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 come on, man. Get back over here. Come on. Come here. Right? Back up. Erase all this. This thing I just painted. I have no control over whether the church makes it or doesn't. That's scary. Do you realize, my beloved, that 99.9% of your life is out of your control? And 100% of your life is in His control. 100% of it. So the Lord said to me years ago, He says, you want to drive or you want me driving? I was like, let me see. So you're telling me I have 0.1% of control if I'm driving and you have 100% if you're driving? He's like, yep. I was like, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. Like that 0.1%, I could probably make it. Can I get amen? We do it, don't we? All the time. So let's dig into this and tear this apart a little bit. Paul says again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I didn't even write it in my notes here. It's 1 Corinthians 2, like, I think it's literally the last verse in that chapter. We have the mind of Christ, right? But we just must understand this, that as born-again believers, there are now two minds. Everybody say two minds. Or two mindsets, say two mindsets, that we can operate from. And only one of them is correct. Jesus did not come to earth, live a perfect life, fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law, hang on a cross, die, and come back again so that we could stumble around in darkness and hope that we make it someday. Think about this, my beloved. Before Jesus came, everyone was already doing that. See, we think that stumbling around in darkness is simply sinners. That's what we attribute that lifestyle to, sinners. Can I get amen? I'm going to go somewhere this. You're going to like it. But do you understand something? That religious people are stumbling around in darkness hoping that they make it someday. Ouch. Do you know why? Just hopefully not offended, I'm going to touch on the Catholic Church here just for a moment. I'm not being derogatory, but I just learned this recently. Do you know why Catholics believe that they need to have their last rites spoken over them as they're dying? I just found this out. Because they believe that if they live properly, if they do enough good things, that the priest will come and bless them, and that's when they get saved, right there. That's why they do that. I was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And that's where they built the whole confessional thing. You would confess to the priest, oh, Father, I sinned, and you know, so six Hail Marys and whatever they do. Okay, the confession thing's actually pretty biblical. Can I get amen? I wish more born-again Christians confess their sin. Yeah, for sure. Can I get amen? Right? But it's this weird system of like, where is that in the Bible? Nowhere. They're stumbling around in darkness hoping that they make it. My goodness gracious, Jesus did not hang on a cross and die. Send his spirit to live inside of me so that I could wonder, oh my gosh, am I going to make it? Who wants to live like that? Right? I saw something the other day. I shared it, but it was this doctor. His patient was older, not, you know, getting near that time of life. So he asked the doctor, who is a born-again Christian, he says, doctor, please tell me what happens after you die. The doctor says, I really don't know. The guy says, I thought you're a Christian. How do you not know what happens after you die? And the guy says, well, because I don't. But then he turns around, and he hears scratching at the door of his office. Like, so he opens the door, and the doctor's dog jumps through the door and, jumps on the doctor. And, dogs like dogs do. Like, they're, all the crazy stuff, wagging their tail and all this stuff. And so the doctor looks at his patient, and he says, you know what? My dog has never been in this room before. But what he did know is that his master was on the other side of the door. And that's all that mattered. He says, I don't know what's going to happen on the other side, but I know my master's there. Come on, church. I can tell you a secret. We're all punching out of here. None of you are getting out of here alive, all right? Your earth suit's going to wear out, however that happens. But you know what? My master's on the other side. Amen. One of the most important aspects of our sanctification, my beloved, is giving permission. Everybody say permission. Giving permission to the Holy Spirit to rewire how we think. Giving the Holy Spirit permission to do some demo in our mind and to restore to us the mind that God created, replacing the mind that has been corrupted by sin. I was going to make a t-shirt. I should still make one. I was going to make this t-shirt that said, pardon my attitude while I'm under construction. Just hang in there. We'll get there, all right? I'm having a bad day because the Holy Ghost is working on me, all right? Anybody want one of those? There's like two people like, Romans 12:2. Let's get there, and I'll be done by two for sure. We got pizza coming. Hang on. We all know this one. Let's read it out loud together, church. I think we all know this one, but let's read it out loud together. This will be our core scripture for a couple of weeks here. Do not be conformed. Come on, everybody, out loud. Let's go. Come on. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Ready for a secret? God doesn't think like you. If God did think like us, we'd all be dead. We'd be long dead. Can I get amen? You know, the Bible says that the Lord says, behold, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Right? It's in Isaiah. Go look that one up and read the context. The context is about how merciful God is. That's the context. He's talking about how incredibly merciful he is. And then he says, I don't think like you think. My ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than yours. Right? He says, if I thought like you, I'd have killed you. Long time ago. Yeah? Paul issues a command here. I would say command. Do not. Doesn't sound like a suggestion. Can I get amen, church? Do not be conformed, right? And effectively, the body of Christ, he's giving this command to the church, right? The Greek word for world here, my beloved, is not talking about this giant ball of dirt that we live on. That word, we see that word also translated in the New Testament, cosmos. Cosmos, talking about a physical place, right? The word that Paul uses here, though, my beloved, is eos, meaning a period of time. So another word we could insert in there without damaging at all, Paul's saying, do not be conformed to the culture. Do not be conformed to what's popular now. We got so many churches all over that claim to be Christians got rainbow flags hanging all over their front door. Because why? There's pressure from the culture. What's funny to me, every time I talk to somebody about that particular subject, I'm like, look, do you think like this is new? Romans 1, just read Romans 1, that's what's talking about, the rainbow culture. Isn't it funny that they've taken the promise from God that I'll never destroy the earth again with a flood and used it to celebrate sin and idolatry? I think we should take the rainbow back. Yeah. Right? Look, man, I know people that are in that lifestyle. They're nice people. Can I get amen? We got to stop. I'm not. But sin is sin, man. Come on. Like, you can't. I can do this because God loves me. The second half of your statement is accurate. The first half is a blatant lie. Right? Because God loves you, I should not be doing that. Or whatever else I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. Amen. So, eon is this Greek word suggesting a period of time. Do you understand that, right? Paul's not talking about don't be conformed to a physical place. He's talking about don't be conformed to a mindset. Don't be conformed to a set of values. Don't be conformed to a culture. Don't be conformed to the popular opinions of men. Amen. But be, say it with me, transformed, right? Transformed. Say it one more time. Transformed, right? Transformed. So transformed, changed, altered, reset by the what, my beloved? By having a great church service once a week. By going to a conference every single month. By getting a word from the prophet. By having a fresh encounter with the Holy Ghost. Fasting. Nope. By the renewing of your mind. When I grew up in church, we used to say this thing saying, man, yo, pastor, I wasn't a pastor a super long time ago. We hear this thing. People would say, well, I understand the Bible here. I'm just having trouble getting it here. You're like, backwards, bro. You understand the Word of God here because that's where the Holy Ghost is. And the only way you understand this, the Word of God is by the Holy Ghost, okay? The elevators need to go down. The elevator's got to go up. Right? It's stopped like, how many people read your Bibles and you're confused? It's okay because I was there forever, years. I might as well be written in Chinese, man, all right? Right? And it wasn't until I finally said, like, I know I can understand this book. I'd watch preachers up here. I love Pastor Al, but, man, Pastor Jim, we got to get Pastor Jim back up here. Because Pastor Jim, is that right, Pastor Al? Man, he gets into Old Testament prophets, and he'll just rip this whole section from a prophet and just some obscure prophet or something. And then he'll be like, and then he'll just bring it to today. Here's what's going on in the culture, and here's what. I remember the first time I saw Pastor Jim preach in his church, I was, like, mind blown about how he's tying Old Testament prophecies into what's going on today. I was like, and I remember sitting there thinking to the Lord, quietly in my spirit, I said, Lord, I want that. You know what? He's given it to me. But you know what? I didn't sit on my couch and eat potato chips and watch Family Guy or whatever stupid shows some of y'all are watching, maybe. Hopefully not. Anybody get convicted by that? That was right from the Holy Ghost, all right? So, you need to give some time to the Holy Ghost. With your Bibles open, with the journal out, He will speak to you. Can I get amen? If you transform something, my beloved, you change it from what it was into something different. Caterpillars become butterflies. They do not become, butterflies never become caterpillars. Amen. If you feel like you're a caterpillar, just hang on. Got to understand something here. God, just close your eyes. Close your eyes right now, just for a moment. And just say this. Repeat this after me. God designed me. Keep your eyes closed. Say it again. God designed me. Not the devil. You're not a mistake. I don't care how you got on this planet. Well, we all know the biology, but you know what I mean. Whatever those circumstances around that biology was, do you realize that some of those amazing humans that have ever lived came out of rape, incest, sexual abuse, and the mom chose to keep the baby and brought some amazing human beings into this world? Not a human being comes onto this planet outside the will of God. Church, God designed your mind. Not the devil. Do you know that there's people that think the original sin in the Garden of Eden was sex? Do you know that there's people that actually think that? There's Christians that think that. How messed up is that? God told Adam and Eve to do that. I got one right. Somebody should have said, amen, pastor. That's some good preaching right there. The devil came in and twisted it. And now we view it, most of the culture views it as this dirty, sinful thing. And obviously, if it's done in the wrong environment, that is exactly what it is. And it's destructive and wicked. But when done properly the way God designed it, because the devil didn't design that, God designed it, the devil twisted it. When it's restored to the way God designed it, when it's renewed, let me say renewed, when it's renewed, it's amazing. Can I get amen? God designed your mind. The devil did not design it. Amen. Your mind, my beloved, listen to this, was designed, was created gloriously by God and for God. Your mind is created with the capacity to understand spiritual things. Your mind is created to perceive the realities of the kingdom. Your mind was created by God to be used for his kingdom and in worship of him. Mark 12, Mark 29. There's not 29 chapters in the Gospel of Mark. Not even close. Mark 12:29. Jesus answered, "The foremost is here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your what? Psyche, right? All your mind and all your strength." Can I get an amen? Can I encourage you? Take care of your body, right? You don't got to be a nut, but you only get one. Can I get amen? See, my beloved, think about this. If you're saved, I mean really saved, right, then the Holy Spirit is living inside of you already. Everybody say already. That's the truth. And if the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, then you have the power to completely change. You have the power to completely change, to be transformed, to become a completely new person. See, here's the thing. The new person you and I are called to become, almost done here, honestly. The new person that you are called to become in Christ is actually not a new person. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment, all right? You're like, well, pastor, don't I say, you know, where all things are created new and new creations in Christ. Okay, yes, But it's not new as in something that we don't know. See, if somebody gave me a Porsche, that'd be new because I've never had one of those. Just saying, if you got an extra one laying around, I would take it off your hands for you. If you introduced me to a food I've never eaten before, that would be new to me because I've never experienced that food, right? If I go on a vacation or on a trip somewhere to play someplace I've never been, it's new to me because I've never been to that place. Do you understand what I'm saying, my beloved? But we have to understand that because we were created by God in heaven, we're formed in our mother's womb, God made your mind, God made your brain, he made you holy and righteous. The only thing is we were born into the Adamic curse. Everybody say the Adamic curse. Anybody not know what that means? Just please raise your hand because I don't want to. The curse of Adam, right? Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Birth of humanism right there. Oh, there's so much humanism in our culture today. Dude, humanism was birthed 6,500 years ago in the garden. That's not new. God's not like, oh my gosh, humanism, what am I doing now? Humanism is just, I'm my own God. The Bible is packed full of people saying, everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. Humanism. Right? Well, the newest phrase in our culture is, well, this is my truth. Bro. Dude, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, well, I don't believe in gravity. Hey, well, then jump off the top of my building. Let's see if it works. The dumbest stuff. I mean, every time I see something, we don't even watch the news anymore because I want to throw something at the TV. But it's now it's on media, social media. You just the our leaders of our country, they're coming out with stuff, and you're like, these are our leaders? What? Unbelievable, man. I must laugh at it now. I just go, here we go. Buckle up. Lord, come back quickly. Church, you got to get this, right? Paul doesn't say to be made new in your mind. He says to be renewed. All right, so let me give you a couple of different ways to kind of wrap our minds around this. I don't have a library card because I don't like the library. If I had a library card or like a gym membership, it's probably a better one, right? You know the best gym business plan ever? Planet Fitness. Sign up for Planet Fitness, it's $10 a month. So they build, there's like a million Planet Fitnesses in America. You want to know why? Because 50 bajillion people were like, $10 a month? I'll sign up for that. And then they never go. So Planet Fitness, all their equipment is brand new because nobody ever goes to Planet Fitness. So nothing ever breaks. They never fix anything. They don't have to pay for anything because everybody's like, it's $10. I'll spend $10 at the pizza joint. It's better than going to the gym. Whoever designed Planet Fitness as a business design, like, the guy's a genius. He's making so much money. Yeah, it's true. So I was like thinking, where was I going with that one? If my gym membership expires, I don't need to get a new gym membership. I need to renew because it already is in existence. The mind that God created, my beloved, is existing inside your skull. It's when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, you will surely die. Obviously, they didn't like drop dead. What died was their spirit man, their ability to perceive kingdom. They were left with just their psyche, right? The smartest human on the planet is, what, 8% of their brain, 9%? Okay, so as a Christian, to me, like, why on earth would God make my mind for me to only use 9% of it for my entire life? I felt like years ago the Spirit of God said to me, yeah, the other 90% is what I use with the Holy Ghost when you get saved. The other 90% is what you need to understand the things of the Spirit. The other 90% is what is dormant until you get saved and the Spirit of God comes in and boom, it starts coming alive. Come on, church. How many times have you just read your Bible and you've read something? I just saw somebody posted something the other day and you read it and all of a sudden you're like, I've read this 1,000 times. How did I not see that? It's ding, like it just comes alive. And like you just feel like dung, like, and it's like you feel something jump. Church, I'm telling you the truth. This might sound weird to some of you, but I've literally been reading my Bible and felt something like energy. Yeah, sorry, Kathy. Power, life, truth. Right? I'm not trying to be new agey here, but I've literally felt something in my heart, like kung, like come alive, and something jumps into my mind, and I can literally like almost physically feel like the Spirit of God like ripping something out of my brain and putting something back into my brain and going like, that was junk, let's get rid of that stuff and put something true in there. I would love to sit down and talk to scientists that want to debate whether God created everything. Let's talk about it. Come on, bring it. What do you got? Guys, share this video on Facebook. I want a scientist to call me. YouTubers, share it. I mean, I want somebody to call me. I'd love to sit down. Can I get amen? Renewing. Example number two. If I was going to, I realized the other day I was thinking about this, I realized like at this stage of my life, like some of you guys think old cars are from the 80s. Right? I'm like, oh, it's a 1986. I'm like, that was only 35 years ago. Yikes. Oh, man. When I was a kid, those cars from the 50s were old cars. But think about this, church. If I was going to go buy, like, so I'm just a car nut. Like, I love cars. They're cool. Like, one of a cool car would be to me is, like, a 1964 Chevy Impala. Yes. I'm looking at Steve. Steve's got this grin on his face right there. He's like, oh, yeah, man. Need the drop top, right? Drop top and slam it. But if I was going to go find one at a junkyard and I restore it, this 1964 Chevy Impala, I'm not going to make it a 2014 Chevy Impala. I'm restoring it to its original design. Right? It maybe some of you like furniture, right? If you're going to restore furniture, the furniture's all broke down and faded and you sand on it and whatever you guys do. I hate that stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, you whatever. I don't have enough patience for that. But you restore it to how it was originally built. Are y'all catching this? I'm beating it on purpose. The Spirit of God is not bringing something completely brand new into our heads. He's not bringing something completely foreign. What he's doing is he's taking what's been broken down by sin, what's been damaged by the Adamic curse, what has been tainted. One person said that that we're made in the image of God and that sin did not erase the image of God, it defaced the image of God. Like graffiti. The image is still there. It's just been, it's been covered over with guilt and shame. And the Holy Ghost comes and takes the blood of the Lamb and starts scrubbing it. It says, I know how I made this young man. I know how I made this woman. I know how I made this woman. I know I made her. I know what she looks like. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I know even this guy. God says, I know how I made this guy. I think sometimes, church, we get scared because we've seen such weird, spooky stuff in church, you know. We see people do spiritual things and they act all crazy and weird. Look, I'll be honest. I've done some pretty weird things sometimes. I've seen some pretty weird things. But you know what? That's okay. As long as there's some fruit that remains after the weird thing goes on. We had a guy one time years ago, we used to have folding chairs in here. And this guy started dancing, man. He's doing this weird little, I don't know, it was weird. And he just goes to town during worship. And he starts heading towards this row of chairs. And I was watching it. And I was like, oh, man, somebody saved this guy. He gets into this chair, and he gets this chair on his leg. And the things, he's like in it, stuck in this chair. And he's still dancing. And this chair is flapping off the back of his leg. I'm like, this guy's going to break his leg or something. I don't know what's going on. And he was, I mean, he was going to town. I was just like, Holy Ghost, you got to help him because I don't know what's going on. We had one young man here one time, his preacher was here, young God Shelter. Some of you remember God Shelter, right? This guy's from brother from Nigeria, and his Nigerian name translated to English means God Shelter. Man, tiny little dude, like 5'8", 100 pounds soaking wet. And one time this preacher calls him up and was the prophesying a financial breakthrough over him. He was launching a business. And so we're all standing there watching, you know, like we didn't have any catchers out there. You know what I mean? Sometimes when folks get prayed for, you're like, oh, I'm going to catch them in case the Lord gets them, you know, and you're ready. So there's no catchers. This prophet lays hands on this guy, touches his forehead. He's praying. He's laying, you know, he's going to town. And all of a sudden, the power of God hits this guy, God's shelter. And he literally like goes from, he was standing up, he goes horizontal, pow, and bounces off the concrete. I was like, man, either that's the Holy Ghost or he's dead. Because I'm waiting for like a blood to come out over the carpet, you know, from cracking his head on the concrete. Nothing. And you know what? He lives in New York City, opened a food truck. He's a chef. My beloved, this guy won the food truck of the year in New York City. New York City. There's like about 6 million food trucks in New York City, man. This guy won it. So I think that prophet had a good word. What do you think? Right? Come on, church. Look, let's have an encounter with God. Let's get crazy for the Lord. If you feel the Lord drawing you, do something crazy for the Lord. But let him change you. Right? Get up different. No matter what tries to get back on you when you get out there, because temptation is going to come until the devil is dealt with. But he's a defeated foe. You do not have to give in to temptation. Can I get amen? You know where we fail? You know where we fail when temptation comes? Right here. This is where we give in. Right here, my beloved. Can I get amen? So what needs to get fixed? Right here. Not here. I'm good. I got to get what's good in here up here. Is this all right? Almost done. See, who we were or are as sinners out in the world, listen to this, is actually what's foreign to us. Just think about this like eating food, all right? If you eat food that's processed and not natural, you know what it does to you? I'm not looking at nobody. It makes you unhealthy. We put on weight, we get cholesterol problems, we get heart issues, can I get amen, right? It's bad for you because it's not natural. But if you eat foods that are natural and organic at the right portions, they are healthy for you. And you can eat these things and they're good for your body. Can I get amen? So why? If that's true in the natural sense, then why would not it also be true in the spiritual sense? See, sin is unnatural to us, and that's why it damages our spirit. That's why it damages our psyche. That's why it damages the way we think, right? When we sin is what builds strongholds in our minds. Paul says we're taking down strongholds, right? They are imaginations and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, not against God. Strongholds, when a stronghold, a bad stronghold is built in my mind, it prevents me from understanding God. So the Holy Ghost comes in with the Word of God, and we start demoing these strongholds that I built because of my sin. And the Holy Ghost takes these strongholds down, and then we build good strongholds. The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is my tower. He is my bunker. He is my righteousness. The Lord is my strength. Can I get amen? My beloved, we are spiritual beings. That is what's natural to us. Greek word for renewing here, almost done. is a compound word that means this. Kind of suggests this. An upward newness. Isn't that funny? The two words that are used to build this Greek word means upward newness. An upward newness. So as I was thinking about this week, studying it, I just felt like, let's just raise your hand, right? I'm raising my hand. How many of you felt like when you're struggling in what's going on in your mind, right? In your whether it's temptation or stress or circumstance, what's going on? Doesn't it feel like you're being pulled down? Right? It's like this thing, like come down. We were in a prayer meeting several weeks ago, and we were praying about something. I forget exactly how it was worded, but it was this. We're praying about like fighting these battles, right? And the Spirit of God said this to me. He said, if you try to fight spiritual battles as from the psyche, right, as from the wrong plane, and I kind of paused, and somebody popped in and said, well, we're going to lose. And I said, no, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, you're not going to lose, but you're not going to win. If we don't realize, my beloved, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, I have the mind of Christ because I've worked it out, right? I've replaced my carnal mind with the mind of Christ. I've got the Word of God in this thing. I can't memorize the Bible. Yes, you can. Absolutely can. You don't need chapter and verse. That's garbage. Who cares about that? I know the Bible says this. Period. I don't care what else happens. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what some preacher on TV says. The Bible, the Word of God, says this. And I'm going to stand on it. We're standing on what? The chain-breaking, miracle-making, powerful name of Jesus. The body-raising, prodigal-saving, powerful name of Jesus, right? I'm standing on the truth of the Word of God. Well, my marriage is struggling. Then build your marriage. Rebuild it on the Word of God. Amen, church. I'm telling you, I talked to someone the other day. I said, look, if the husband's doing what the Bible says to do and the wife is doing what the wife is supposed to do, your marriage will be rock solid. It's impossible for it not to be. Because God wants your marriage to be amazing. Amen. The Lord said to me, if we fight on the wrong plane, you won't lose, but you won't win. It's just this constant battle. I think I'm talking to somebody. Anybody feel like you're just in a constant state of battle? Nobody's willing to raise their hand. One person said yes. Church, that's not where we're supposed to be living. That's not where we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to be living free. Promised land, rest, peace, joy, hope. And then from that place, we say, all right, now let's do some battle. Is that all right? The devil is always trying to pull us down. Hey, come down here. Let's talk about this. I said, no, how about you come up here and we'll talk. You come on up here. We're gonna fight on my territory. He's like, I don't want to go up there. I'm like, well, yeah, then beat it. Submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will. You don't flee from something unless you're afraid of it. My beloved, when Jesus broke the power, when Jesus broke the power of the Adamic curse through the cross of Calvary and sent his Spirit to live within us, the Spirit of God began to breathe life into our mind. If we let him, if we let the Holy Spirit, he will begin to repair what was destroyed through the Adamic inheritance. He will begin to restructure the way we think. He will renew our minds. There's only one way, church, to become the man or woman that Jesus died, rose again, and sent his Spirit to become. It's through the gospel. Read and study your Bibles. Surrender and submit to the Spirit of God. Examine your ways and be honest about how short you're actually falling to the standard of Scriptures in your life. Because you know what? God knows how far short you're falling. And you know what else? He's okay with it. The only thing he's not okay with is when we pretend we're not falling short, because that's pride. When we come and just say, honestly, God, I'm a disaster. And he's like, yeah, I know. Let's fix it. I sent my son to hang on the cross because you're a disaster. It's okay. It's not okay to stay there. Amen. Ephesians 4, I'm just going to read this. I promise I'm not going to preach at all. I'm just going to read this. We're picking it up next Sunday right here. Ephesians 4, 17. So this I say, let's stand up. This I say, just listen to this, my beloved. This I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. So now look what's going on in their mind. I'm not preaching, I'm just highlighting something. Being darkened in their what? Understanding. Excluded from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed, in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to come and look to you right now. Forgive us, God, for every lie that we've accepted. Forgive us even for, I think, I know some of us believe that lie as I was talking about, you know, you were created by God. And like we know that, like, mentally and religiously, but I think we still struggle with that. Like, if God made my mind, why is it so messed up? Why do I think such messed up stuff? Church, I've been there for years. I said, man, if anybody ever knew what was going on in my mind, I'd go to jail. Or worse. But I'm telling you here now, church, and there's many believers right here in our room, some of us online today, that have made this step, that we've made this journey. I control what goes on in my mind. It's my mind. God gave it to me to serve him. So, Father, I pray that these next couple of Sundays, as we delve into this truth and really tear it apart, that we start understanding that you created our mind for spiritual things. The devil kidnapped us and brainwashed us and abused us and deceived us, defaced us. But God, your image is still, we still bear your image, no matter what we've done. No matter what we've done, we still bear your image. And so we thank you, Holy Ghost, right now, that today something shifts in our mind, in the spirit of our mind. That, Lord, this week as we spend just even 10 minutes every day in the Bible, that we hear you like we've never heard you before. Something just comes alive in our mind, God, that our minds begin to be renewed, restored to how you designed them, Lord. God, that we realize it's not that. The trick is that we'll never get there. And the trick is, no, this is, you're really this. You're really evil. You're really sinful. No, that's the lie. I am created by God for God to serve him with everything I got, including my mind. We got someone got to share something just for a moment.
First of all, I want to praise God because my daughter just texted me that she's in church right now, so that's a praise report. But and she said the sermon was really good. This week, I was in a prayer group, and I was praying. We were praying for this girl who had her birthday, and it really blessed me. So I thought maybe we should share this. What the Lord showed me when we were praying for her was he was sitting in a rocking chair, and he was knitting this huge afghan. And under his breath, he's saying, knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two. And he had this smile, and he's rocking, and he had every intention and purpose in every single stitch of that person's life. And the joy that radiated, it's for us to know that he has everything in control of that whole life. It's his purpose. It's his, and we go back to that pattern and that masterpiece that he's making when we yield to what that stitch for each season in our life is for. So it's just with the, it was knit together in his mother's womb, that scripture that I saw. So praise God.
Amen. Yeah, so Father, we just, as we journey through this for the next several weeks, Lord, help us to understand that success is a tender heart. Success is knowing you and you knowing us. Not titles, not money, not jobs, not ministry, not what other people do, you know, children that are you can't control your children, you can't control your spouse. You can control you by the power of the Holy Ghost. That is success. So, Father, help us to get that truth firmly in our minds in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you for being with us in Jesus' name. Guys, we'll be back here Wednesday night for prayer. Everyone is welcome. We start at 7 o'clock. If you like to pray, we'd love to have you join us. Amen.